The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, calling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. A few months ago, I think, somebody told me that the word ignorant is a bad word. I said, why would it be a bad word? Because to be ignorant means simply not knowing. Let's face it, I'm ignorant with many things, like trying to fix the duct works on top of this building, you know, how to fix it, because they say there's something wrong with the way it was connected. So obviously I'm ignorant as far as what to do, and therefore, because of that, I need people around me to tell me what is the best way to go about it. So the word ignorant is not a bad word now. Even if somebody tells me, "Father, you're ignorant." Yes, I am. You know, I am. Now, ignorant is different from being blind. An ignorant person is somebody that didn't know certain things. While a blind person, in this case, for us, you're supposed to know it, but because of pride, prejudice, anger, what you're supposed to know, you cannot see. For example, here, all of us here should not be ignorant of Christ, yes? Should not, because we go to church, we pray, we read the Bible. But sadly, many of us, if not all of us, are blinded. Blinded by whatever reason. A few days ago, somebody was caught because he sent fake bomb thingies to politicians. One of the words that struck me was the word, not being a Republican or anything, but the word churchgoer. That this guy who sent out the bomb, fake bombs, was a churchgoer. So I wonder, it just struck in my mind, how about my people? How about my flock here? You go to church every Sunday, you pray, but are you blind? Blinded by anger? If this guy was not blinded by anger of what, he would not have been using a what? Threatening things, violent things. So if he was really a churchgoer and still full of anger, then what? Is he ignorant? No. He is blinded by anger. Why am I saying this? Because today's gospel talks about this blind beggar. Lord, I want to see. Is that why you are here? Is that why we are here? Lord, I want to see. I want to know who I really am in your eyes. What am I really doing? What's happening in my mind, in my heart, in my family? Lord, open my eyes. If I am full of anger, please let me see it. Let me acknowledge it. If I am full of prejudice, let me see it, so that once I see these things, I can change. But I want to see. But if you are always denying, remember, it is easy to deny. Deny that you are angry, deny that you are prejudiced, deny with regards to being selfish. But here, when we approach Jesus, especially when we say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, I admit my blindness. I admit my faults and failures. I admit my weaknesses. And then I ask God for the grace to change my ways. Stop the pretensions. Every time we come here, and we are in front of Christ, the Eucharist. Maybe, yes, you can socialize with other people here, but once you are inside the church, stop pretending. I do not pretend. When I say Mass, I'm trembling with fear because I know I will be holding God Himself. I know that I am with God in front of the Eucharist. I know I am unworthy. I know I am a sinner. I know I have offended Him. That is why I sincerely mean when I say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. When we say this, because we acknowledge that we have sinned. This guy, this blind beggar, imagine how he reached out to Jesus. When you are blind in the Jewish mentality, you are also looked down. Because when you are blind or a leper or any physical disability, according to their tradition, you are unclean. You are carrying the sins of your forefathers. So not only is he physically blind, he was also rejected, disrespected by people, even by his own family. Remember when you watched Moses' Ten Commandments, wherein he wanted to see his mother, but he cannot because she was unclean. She was unclean because she had leprosy. He wanted to embrace her, but he cannot because Jewish tradition says, if you embrace her, you also will become unclean. So this guy in the gospel was blind and a beggar. Again, a beggar. Of course, remember, huh? Being poor at that time, even in a third world country, is different here. Huh? Here, sad to say, every other day, two or three men will come here asking again at first for food. And then all of a sudden it will shift to money. I never give them money. I never give anything, especially people begging. Why? The poor here in America is different from the poor in a third world country and during the time of Jesus. Why? The government here can support you, can give you some basic needs. While in the third world country, in the time of Jesus, when you are poor, you have absolutely nobody. The government or the kingdom will not help you. So you are poor, really dirt poor. Here it's a matter of choice, sad to say, unless you're mental. But the point is, Jesus, or this beggar who was blind, was also poor. Yet, what did he do? When he heard Jesus approaching, he chose to believe in Jesus. He chose to go beyond his pain, his suffering, his loneliness, and reach out to Jesus and said, "Jesus, Son of David, help me." He could have chosen to lead a miserable life, an angry life, and push or not listen to Jesus, but he chose. And how did he do it? The only possession he had was his cloak. That's the only possession he had. Nothing else. He had no house to stay. He had no regular income. It was only the cloak. But even then, he threw his cloak, the only possession he had, and reached out to Jesus. What does it mean? Absolute trust and confidence in Jesus. He could have said, "No, this is my only cloak. This is my only possession." No, he threw it even that and said to Jesus, "Help me. Here I am, naked before you. Here I am, totally dependent now on your providence and mercy and kindness." How many of us have that kind of faith then? The problem here we have in America is that first, we have this attitude, "I help myself. I can do whatever I want. This is America. I have all the chance to do whatever I want." But we forget whatever we are, whatever we have, what? This is the problem nowadays. People leading their lives as if they depend only on themselves and not on God. And for us who believe in God, how many of us are willing to even let go of your ultimate or everything that you have to embrace Jesus? I always remember, or I always tell people, imagine yourself at your deathbed. When you are dying, all your accomplishments, house, property, family, friends, fame, glory, when you're at your deathbed, what do you do? All of them are nothing. You are now going to face God. That is supposed to be the attitude that we must have, even though we are still healthy. Why do we have to wait for us to be dying to surrender ourselves totally to Jesus? We must now have that attitude. We must have this attitude that whatever we have now, whatever we are now, we will give up everything for the glory of God. That is the faith that we must have. Willing to let go of everything and embrace God. Is that what we have? Because the problem is, we profess to be Christians, but our faith has not grown because we still don't trust God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength. And because of that, can God tell us and say to us, "Oh, your faith has healed you"? Imagine that. Or when we die right now, do you think your faith is that real, consistent, and strong that God, Christ, will recognize us and say, "Hey, I know you. You really trusted me"? Why am I saying this? Because Christ said so. You want to be perfect? Remember in the gospel a few weeks ago? You want to be perfect? Go sell your possessions. Give it to the poor and follow me. He wants us to have that attitude of absolute trust. And let's face it, none of us here have reached that point. We are still growing in that aspect of giving everything to Jesus. So once again, I, in the second reading, talks about being the high priest. I, before I became a priest, was one of his people. And in his mind, I did not choose him. He chose me. He plucked me out of these people and decided to make him his priest. But my obligation is to make sure that you are not ignorant about the faith and that you are learning and growing and appreciating more who Christ is, and to remind you that if by chance you are blinded by anger, pride, whatever, that you beg God to help you see. This is what the lessons are for today. Make sure you take it by heart, in your heart, and then we, you and I, will continue to benefit from this wonderful, loving, and merciful God, our Lord Jesus Christ.